Fan Run Radio podcasters, many of you have been asking for a way to support the station if you live out of state and can't support our sponsors, and now there's a way. Just go to shopfanrun.com and buy a shirt, or two, or ten, and know that you're supporting the station that does our best to support you. Shopfanrun.com.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves. Happy Monday morning for you. Oh boy, it's cold. Oh, it's cold. As we come into the Fan Run studios, John Reed, Cody McClure, Ben Lee. Intern Parker has the Periscope fired up if you want to watch along. Are we back on Facebook? Thumbs up, we're back on Facebook. If that was the way you watched, if you were one of the five or six people who stream us on Facebook. Good news, we're back. How are we this morning? Thumbs up for Ben Lee. Cody McClure.
Good to be here, good to be anywhere. John, I'm sure the folks on Facebook are happy to have us back. I'm sure they really missed us in our absence.
Yeah, yeah.
On Facebook.
Great to see you. It's a time for celebration. It's a time to sit and just wait until hour two headlines. Let me tell you, your hour two headlines are going to set records for our streaming numbers. People are going to be tuned in waiting for hour three headlines, I guess it would be, hour three headlines to kick off with Tennessee officially on the throne at number one. Great win over Alabama. Great win. Definitely the story of the weekend. As Tennessee's able to survive while other top five teams go down. Definitely the biggest sports story coming out of the weekend. New number one team in college basketball. Your Tennessee Vols right here in Knoxville. I'm not worried about Duke. Duke's not staying at number one. Not going to happen. Tennessee is the new number one team. I'm reporting that officially. And I don't know if you know, but I know a little bit about newspapers. You know, best radio host, voted on by the newspaper. You know, just there's a little bit of a connection there. I got some inside sources. The AP writers, Vols number one.
Did the newspaper insider source, was he the one that told you about the Chiefs going to the Super Bowl?
Now, wait a second.
Was that your newspaper source? You said you know a lot about newspapers.
You win some, you lose some. You win some, you lose some. All year long, your second favorite team, I told you what was going to happen to them. Let's focus on that. How about
who?
That?
Who? The
your Saints?
Saints.
Who? Yeah, your beloved Alvin Kamara that you talked about all year. Hey, let's talk about that.
Who dat?
I sat here and told you the Rams were going. You win some, you lose some.
You know, it's not about that. No, my favorite team is not there. The Bears were knocked out. And my second favorite team, the Saints, knocked out, sure.
Yeah, let's focus on that, wise guy.
You did get one right. It wasn't the one you were most confident in. If you recall, you told me for many, many months, not just last week, not just Friday, for many, many months, you told me the Kansas City Chiefs were the best team in the AFC.
I still think they're the best team in the
AFC. Well, they're 0-2 against Tom Brady this year.
I still think they're the best team in the AFC. I just forgot to take into account how crooked the NFL was. That was my biggest mistake, was I forgot to account for the storyline that you kept talking about. And I know that you were looking for a storyline, but you know who else is looking for a storyline? The NFL officials. I forgot to take that into account.
Nothing worse than officials guy coming in on a Monday morning, blaming the zebra stripes.
I forgot
for a big L.
I forgot that the NFL wants Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. My bad.
Did you forget about the Patriots being penalized three times on their last drive?
Yeah, should have been four. Should have been four.
It's hard to call bias against the officials when the Pats are getting penalized like that.
You should get to tack on a roughing the passer onto a defensive pass interference. That's something they should add. If you rough the passer while also, you know, interfering, it should be another penalty. You shouldn't
they
have
offset.
To decline one.
They offset. It's part of the rules.
Well, they don't offset. You just accept one and the other just gets declined. You should be able to tack both
essentially
on.
Essentially, it's an offset.
Well, no, offset would be zero penalty.
I get the premise of it. Essentially, it cancels it out.
Well, you just have to pick one. If it was a four-yard pass interference, you could take the personal foul.
Point is, they were throwing flags on the New England Patriots. Things were not going the Patriots' way, and they responded to adversity.
And they also had one of the most egregious roughing the passer calls, one of the strangest overturns on a video evidence that had no evidence, which, you know, for 15 years of replaying football, I thought that meant that the call had to stand. You had a really ticky-tack lining up in the neutral zone. I mean, come on. Brady throws his third interception, game's over, Chiefs going to the Super Bowl, but the refs had to get in the way. Oh, you're lined up a little bit offsides. You could call that almost every play. Watch, every time you see a hand in the neutral zone.
Did you forget about Mahomes' bomb over the middle when the Patriots were offsides? They called that just the same earlier in the game.
There's a difference between having a lining up in offsides and jumping offsides. There is a little bit of a difference there.
If you check the football rule book, you're not supposed to be in the neutral zone.
I understand that. I'm not saying that you are. I'm not saying that you are supposed to.
You can't line up between the guard and the tackle and expect them not to call a penalty.
I would just like a snapshot. Show how many times somebody is lined up in the neutral zone where it goes uncalled. It's just a really ticky-tack place to call it. Brady should have thrown his third interception, game over. He chokes instead.
No. Even if that would have happened, which it didn't, he won. But even if that would have happened, that ball bounced off of the receiver's hands.
It would have been Brady's third interception.
Wouldn't have been Brady's fault, though.
Well, no, but we're not going to say, well, that jump ball to Gronk was really just a jump ball that Eric Berry could have intercepted. We're going to say
really
no,
doesn't
it was a great
matter.
Throw by Brady that was completed.
Really doesn't matter.
I know it doesn't. And they were great, and the Patriots have this way of, making their opponents fail.
Why can't you just respect greatness?
I just said they have a great way of making their opponents fail. They have a great way of executing when it matters. They do.
We'll give some credit where credit's due.
The mystique of the Patriots won that game. It did. They know what to do in those situations. I'm not taking anything away from them.
Coming in here blaming the officials. I thought you were better than that.
It was a poorly officiated weekend.
I thought you were better than that.
It was a poorly officiated weekend is all I'm saying.
I thought the Chiefs.
The most egregious roughing the passer I've ever seen. Come on.
You can't put hands in the face mask.
There's no way Chris Hogan caught that ball. You can't go to the ground, have it on your shoulder, and it be a catch. I'm sorry.
There was another debatable catch on the drive before that went Kansas City's way.
Which one was that one?
One that it appeared that New England caught and he didn't catch it, and it could have gone either way.
That was after the play, and that one was clearly incomplete. Clearly.
I'm just saying, there's a lot of plays in the game. Some of them go your way. Some of them don't go your way. This whole notion that the officials are in the back pocket of the Patriots is asinine.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah.
I mean, what do we think?
What they say?
Some conspiracy?
Five pass interferences all year? Pass interferences all year on that defense? Yeah. Sounds a lot like Alabama's holding stat in college football.
Kansas City had every opportunity to win the game, and they couldn't win the game.
They did. They could not get a stop. Shout out to Tony Romo, who apparently should have been the Chiefs' defensive coordinator.
That guy's something else.
He knew everything the Patriots were doing every time, and they did it, and it would work, and the Chiefs' defensive coordinator was left on the sideline scratching his head.
Now see, Tom's canceling out here. They're going to run a guy in motion, and they're going to run the ball to the right side this time.
Boom, touchdown.
That's exactly what they did.
You're going to have the running back and Gronk chip here, and then it's going to be Edelman across the middle. Boom, first down. Yeah, no, he was, he should be in line for some defensive coordinator jobs. The way he can spot offensive tendencies, he shouldn't be an offensive coach. He should be a defensive coach.
Romo's going to grow into a broadcasting legend, I believe.
I wonder if that'll be good enough for him. I wonder if that'll be good enough for him, or if he ever wants to get into coaching. Just those guys who are competitive like that, I wonder if being just in the booth doing that will be enough. Maybe. But he was, he was someone who caught the league by storm when he first started last year. And then people started getting a little bit annoyed at his enthusiasm and him being a little bit unpolished. But yesterday you're just reminded of how awesome it is when he's in the zone.
Well, the first few games he did, I got a little annoyed thinking, this is too much. But then I got used to it, and now I can see that it's just pure enthusiasm.
Yeah.
And I love it. I think he's great for the game.
You were right. You were right all along. I was wrong all along. I will run the gauntlet. I believe on Thursday is what day I'm going to do.
Thursday?
Thursday is the day I'm going to run the gauntlet. 13 hours here in the studio.
What all will you do?
Just whatever the show host needs me to do.
This could get interesting.
I'd imagine most of it will just be me sitting there Watching.
Just looking at Russell and Bear.
Outside of 10 to 1, it'll just be me sitting there. I'd say maybe it's optional. We'll need me to do something that day. I can do, you know, have some type of duties, and maybe the overtime guys will probably give me a mic.
You don't have to do that. You can take lunch at that time if you want.
No.
It's optional.
A deal's a deal.
I might let you on the Periscope on it's optional.
No, I know, but it's optional for that show. So, like, you have to do 7 through 1, obviously. But then, you know, it's optional. And then the drive and overtime.
I'd imagine the drive will just have me sit there in the corner, just kind of look at me like, what the hell are you doing in here?
Which show are you looking forward to the most?
Talk Sports. The best show
from
10 a.m. to 1 p.m. in the
city. Can't count that one. We do this one every day.
Probably overtime.
Overtime?
Probably overtime. 2 hours.
Because it's the last one.
2 hours into the day. Like I said, they'll probably give me the mic, let me talk some.
You think?
I'll probably be delirious by that point.
I'm going to come check in on you every now and then.
Well, I'd hope you'd bring me lunch after the show. I'd hope you'd do that for me.
I'll consider it.
That'd be nice of you. Or I guess I could just Uber Eats. Maybe you can get me a discount from all the Uber Eats you do. Maybe you have a promo code you can offer me for at least the first delivery free or something like that.
Yeah, no. See, I'm saving those.
Oh, okay.
Saving those points.
Okay,
so,
well. We can figure it out. Tough. Big part of the conversation coming out of the Patriots-Chiefs game was the overtime rule. A lot of people sharing thoughts about the overtime rule. We'll talk about that next. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program. We expect Tennessee to be named number one today at noon. We will watch that defense on Wednesday night at Hops and Hollers. Come watch the game with us as Tennessee tries to right a wrong from, 11 years ago? As they try to right a wrong from 11 years ago and go into Memorial Gym, ranked number one, and come out number one.
Or history will repeat itself.
Shut up. Shut up.
Wouldn't that be awful?
Thoughts on the outcry of how the NFL needs to change its overtime rule?
I think that the Chiefs should have had a chance to match what the Patriots did. The fact that you win a coin flip should not determine the outcome of the game if the other team doesn't even get the ball. That's how you solve it. I mean, I don't think they should go extreme like trying to go to college overtime rules or something like that.
Well, what happens at that point? What happens at the point if the Patriots score a touchdown and the Chiefs answer? Then what happens? That's always my question. What do you do at that point? Make them go for two, says Ben Lee? Second team has to go for two?
You've got to come up with something like penalty kicks, you know? Like, I think what you try to preserve the integrity of the game for as long as you can and see if teams can match scores. Maybe what you do is if the first team scores a touchdown, the second team gets a chance to match that touchdown, but then next team to score wins.
To me, at that point, you run into the same trouble. What if the Patriots get two possessions to the Chiefs one? Like, what if they both swap touchdowns and the Patriots go down the field again like a knife through warm butter and you're still looking, well, they had the ball twice and the Chiefs only got it once? To me, that's the issue. And I saw some people saying, hey, we'll just make it a full 15-minute quarter. Well, at that situation, the team who gets the ball first is at a huge advantage too. Say they have a 7-minute drive or a 6-minute drive and the other team answers and there's 2 minutes left and boom, they go in a 2-minute drill to kick a field goal right at the end of the game. Like, and it's still two possessions to one. Like, I don't know what the solution is. My thoughts are if you can't stop someone, and the Chiefs had, what, three opportunities on third down to stop the Patriots, and they were all pretty much third and long. They had three opportunities and got cooked on all three of them. To me, if that happens, I'm not going to feel bad for you for not having a chance to get the ball. I'm just not. Now, you could say that you left your youngest, brightest star and the Chiefs' best player on the sideline, and Patrick Mahomes never got a chance. You could say that. The same as, was it, 4 years ago, I guess, when this happened to the Packers, when Aaron Rodgers was at peak Aaron Rodgers? And he'd hit the Hail Mary to get the Packers into overtime against the Cardinals. And then the Cardinals got the ball to start overtime and went right down the field and scored, and we had the same conversation.
It does seem unfair, though, that Mahomes would not even get a chance.
Maybe. Maybe it's unfair. Like, sure, I get it. I mean, like I said, the Chiefs had chances to stop the Patriots, and this isn't like something that happens all the time. The NFL going to touchdown wins, if not we extend, if it's just a field goal. The team who gets the ball first doesn't have a huge, huge advantage anymore. Someone sent me, and I haven't verified, so maybe we'll try to get the exact number during the show today, but said that the team who gets the ball first wins 55% of the time, which isn't a huge advantage there.
No, but it still favors the team that gets the ball first. I think that maybe what you could do, you know, I just don't think you should be penalized for not being able to stop somebody, is my thoughts on it. Because we talk about how these offenses are dominating the league now,
mm-hmm.
and how the four teams that were left were the four best offenses in the NFL.
Yeah.
So the fact that you can't stop somebody doesn't necessarily mean that you should lose the game because of that, because a lot of times this year the Chiefs haven't been able to stop anybody, but their offense has been far better than anybody.
I get the complaints. I just don't know what the solution would be. I don't want college overtime rules. College overtime rules are stupid to me. College overtime rules are dumb to me. I don't want those.
What's the problem with college overtime rules?
Well, college overtime specifically, like starting at the 25, you're already in field goal range. You're already in field goal range. And you're eliminating kickoffs and punts, which I think are important.
Perhaps you could bring the kicking game into overtime in some way to at least not leave it up to a coin flip. Maybe we could come up with some kind of skills challenge, like first team to hit a 50-yard field goal or something gets the ball. You know,
I did see.
It's better than a coin flip.
Well, I did see an idea that I do think I like, saying that you should auction it off, like field position style.
Auction it off. What do you mean?
What's the game where you're like, hey, I can get five of these. I can get this right with five clues, or you know, and somebody's like, no, I can do it in four clues. You know, you go back and forth, just who can go the lowest in terms of you know, answering questions or bidding, like in spades, just something as simple as that. I can get eight books. Well, I can get nine. Okay, well, you play it. Basically saying, we'll take the ball at the 15-yard line. And then the other team has a chance to say, well, we'll take it at the 10. We'll start our possession at the 10-yard line. I do kind of like that, where at least you bring in something more strategic than a coin flip. Like, if you want to get rid of the coin flip and make it a different way of judging who gets the ball first, I would listen to that. I would love an auction between Belichick and Andy Reid where they negotiate on where their offense would start with the ball.
Maybe bring in Butch Jones to handle it. Make it a skills challenge. Have you seen what he did with the Tennessee spring game? How about you bring out Brady and Mahomes, put them both at the 50, first guy to hit the ball in the barrel in the end zone, that team gets the ball.
The XFL maybe had it right when they just raced for the ball.
Maybe they were ahead of the game.
But then they had like one of their better players, or someone who thought they were going to be one of the better players, like tear his knee up on like the first or second time they raced for the ball, and then they realized that was not a very good idea.
Maybe you bring out two willing fans, a Patriots fan and a Chiefs fan, and they fight to the death.
I do like the auction off. I do like the auction off. Do you take the ball at the 10-yard line? Well, if you go three and out, you're pretty much gifting field goal range. Do you do that? I also like soccer's overtime rules. Do two separate 6-minute, 7-minute halves. One team gets the ball first for a 7-minute period. However that 7-minute period works out, and then you flip it and do it again, and the other team gets the ball first. Not guaranteed just to be one possession versus one possession. You could theoretically hold a team to go three and out, and you get the ball back and score, and then you're getting it again to start the second half of overtime. That's what they do in soccer, and it seems to work pretty good. They just do 15-minute abbreviated halves. And then if that doesn't work, they just go to PKs.
But what would the PKs be in football?
Well, I don't think you'd go to PKs. I think if you were tied, so after the 14 minutes, you say, look, here's what we're doing. It's next score wins. Shut up. Whoever wins the coin toss that gets the ball first, they might win. Just deal with it. Now, none of these work for the regular season. I think the regular season overtime rules are fine. I'm okay with ties. I'm okay with, you know, if you can't get it done in 10 minutes, you get a tie.
Oh, I'm totally against ties.
Well, at a certain point, you run into problems where you can't just fantasy book the sport of football while these guys are killing themselves. Like, eventually you have to start worrying about, well, what would the players actually be okay with? Because the players aren't going to be okay with playing an extra 30 minutes of football in overtime.
Well, no, you don't make them play an extra 30 minutes.
Well, I mean, the people who are talking about going to college overtime rules, like, I don't think you're going to get NFL players doing the whole LSU, Texas A&M, we're playing for an extra 7 or 8 periods or whatever. Like, that's not going to happen.
That's awful, and like you said last night, it's gimmicky. That LSU-Texas A&M game was gimmicky. That wasn't SEC football.
Yeah.
An SEC football game should not be 74-72. It makes it ridiculous.
Well, really, the rules just favor the offense so much now, like, it'd be impossible to do a 25 and in for the NFL.
Oh,
They'd score every time they touch the...
I mean, I think even college should go back to the 40.
Yeah.
Or the 50. Like, I do think you should... The thing about college overtime that kills me is that you don't even have to pick up a first down. You could kneel the ball 3 times and kick a field goal if your kicker's going to score. You don't have to do absolutely anything on offense to be awarded a chance to take advantage of having a better kicker. To me, like, they should start at least the 40 or the 50. At least make the offense do something before scoring. And I get that they're trying to just gimmick it up and do whatever they can to end the game, but as you see, like in college... Usually it goes 2 or 3 periods at least. At least that's how it feels to me. Maybe the numbers don't bear that out, but it feels like there's always at least multiple overtimes in college football.
I think I'm going to stick with 2 fans fighting to the death.
Just to see who gets the ball first or just to see who wins?
Just to see who gets the ball first. Yeah. It thins out the herd, makes the fan bases in general stronger.
Now, can they be fans or can teams do kind of like these fraternities at universities do when it comes to boxing weekend and have like a ringer that they kind of just let in the frat just because they know that he's going to be a good boxer? Like, hey, this guy could help us win some of these boxing matches.
Yeah, you could do that.
So a team could recruit some fans? Like, hey, in case it comes down to overtime, we're going to need you to kill that guy over there.
It's just like having a kicker.
And next thing you know, Greg Hardy is back in the NFL as an NFL, kneeing people in the face.
There you go, probably for the Raiders. It's just like having a kicker. You just have, you call it your mauler. It's like your punter and your kicker. He's a specialist. Use him when you need him.
I hate how we rush to change the rules every time this happens. But it does feel like this has happened in some pretty, marquee playoff games. Obviously, the Patriots did it last night and won. Obviously, they did it in the Super Bowl against the Falcons. Got the ball, went right down the field and scored. And I already referenced it happening against Aaron Rodgers, where you're leaving great quarterbacks on the field. Personally, I think if you just get gutted, if you get gutted the way they got gutted, if you give up a touchdown, it's a team game, you deserve to lose. If your defense is that bad, I think you deserve to lose. I'm okay with that rule.
But can we really say that with all that we've said about these offenses and how good they are? And we've all admitted that the rules these days are catered to the offenses. It's made scores higher. It's made teams like the Rams and the Chiefs and the Saints be able to dominate teams for the biggest part of the season.
I just think the 60 minutes before give you enough opportunity. Like, if it's tied after that, I'm sorry. Like, I'm not necessarily worried about fairness when you get to extra time. That's just where it's at with me. Like, I don't want to be, hey, you had other opportunities to win the game, but the Chiefs fans and them crying about not getting the ball in overtime, it loses a little weight with me whenever you did absolutely nothing in the first half and you got shut out. Like, I get it. It sucks. You wasted a whole 30 minutes. I'm not going to worry about what's fair or not. You wasted a whole 30 minutes. Maybe that's, like I said, maybe that's just me being a curmudgeon. Maybe that's just me being, hey, no one call defines the game type of thing. But don't suck for 30 minutes and the Chiefs don't have to worry about this. They came out and they were awful. Awful for 30 minutes. Mahomes taking terrible sacks, missing a wide open Williams for a touchdown on a perfectly executed pick play. Like, he's strolling into the end zone. Travis Kelce has his hands up celebrating, and Mahomes overthrows him by 3 yards. Like, I get it. It sucks you didn't get the ball in overtime, but you sucked in the first half. I'm not going to cry about it.
It's just hard for me to see it that way, though, when the game is tied.
Sure. I mean, like I said, it's not fair. If you don't think it's fair, I'm not going to argue you didn't get the ball. You could have kicked an onside kick. Try an onside kick. You could have gotten a stop. Try a stop. Because at a certain, like, I don't know, maybe the strategy would completely change if you were guaranteeing two possessions. Maybe I would assume all these teams kick off and go on defense first. Right? I would assume that's what they would do. But even then, it's not necessarily even to me if one team's going to get four downs to try to get a game-tying touchdown versus whoever gets the ball first is probably going to play it safe and punt on fourth down. It still gives the edge to the team who gets the ball second. Like, I don't know. Well, I hate everyone complaining about it.
Well, the big question for me, after watching both games yesterday, and I was sitting there last night thinking about it, which one was more egregious? The overtime rules and the fact that Mahomes didn't get a chance, or the no call on the pass interference against the Saints? I was thinking that might be a good poll question. Which was a worse way for a game to end?
Worse just in terms of like leaving you unsatisfied, or worse as in terms of unfair?
I don't know what the terms are precisely.
Yeah.
But, you know, one of them you can blame on the officials, and the other one you can blame on the rule book.
I'd say Chiefs fans right now, I would say Chiefs fans are pretty split. I'd say 30% of them are blaming the NFL for not getting the ball back in overtime. I would say somewhere like 40-50% are blaming the defense for not being able to get one stop. And the other 20%, you know, either feeling cursed or saying, hey, we had other opportunities. Saints fans, all of them are screaming about the blown call. Because at that point, you could have kneeled the ball out and kicked a field goal to win. Instead, you lose in overtime. We'll talk about the Saints, the Rams next. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program. I forgot to mention in my percentages. I would say D Ford's probably getting 60% of the blame. I'd say D Ford lining up offsides on the game most likely clinching play. Now the Patriots would have probably gotten the ball back with like 10 seconds left, 15 seconds left, because they didn't have all three timeouts. But I would say that they are really blaming D Ford just for lining up offsides. I'd focus on that instead of Mahomes not getting the ball. Like, hey, just do something simple, like line up onsides. Jason Pace sends in a suggestion on how to fix overtime. Says he thinks both teams should get a chance. If the first team scores a TD, the other team has the same amount of plays it took them to score a TD. If first team gets field goal, then you just keep going. You know, you just play with the rules.
Okay.
So you get, like, say the Patriots would have been able to score in 9 plays. The Chiefs have 9 plays to match that.
What if the Chiefs score in 4?
I guess they win the game.
So make it to where whoever can score, you match possessions, but whoever scores their touchdown the quickest wins.
Yeah.
But then you're just going to have deep balls every play.
That'd be fun, I guess.
It would be fun to watch.
Watching Patrick Mahomes say he's got, only got 3 plays left to score. Time to start on, just start launching them towards the end zone. I mean, obviously that changes. I mean, now you're just rewarding explosive offenses and punishing the Patriots who went on a, you know, just a gut-wrenching drive. I think both offenses should be rewarded. I don't think you can do the plays thing. But at least we're thinking now. I don't think there's going to be some outside-the-box approach to it, though. I'm still partial to just auction off field position. Let Tom Brady start on his own 5-yard line if they want the ball so bad.
Just make it a chess match between the coaches?
Yeah.
That would be pretty entertaining to see Belichick and Andy Reid just negotiating.
I mean, you know that Belichick's getting the best of Andy Reid there, right? But then at least we have something else to dissect today instead of, it's not fair, both teams got to get the ball. They want both teams to have a chance. At least we could then say, how did Andy Reid agree to give the Patriots the ball on the Chiefs' 10-yard line. Like, how did he not realize that Belichick said your 10-yard line and not our own 10-yard line? How did Andy Reid fall for that? He let Tom Brady start on the 10-yard line. They just like needed 10 yards to score a touchdown. How did Andy Reid let Belichick get the jump on him that badly?
He got by the old two options on the Madden screen, you know,
right.
Opponent 46 or own 42. Which one is better?
He fell for it. Then sometimes we could have that to dissect. Then I think that would be better for all of us rather than trying to fix overtime rules. We could laugh at Andy Reid. Andy Reid having all three timeouts with like 7 minutes remaining in that game was a huge upset. Did not see that coming.
I feel bad for Andy Reid.
No, you don't.
He's never going to win a Super Bowl.
You were so giddy last night.
Giddy?
You were just so giddy. I can picture you now sitting there in your apartment, touching your fingers, saying, oh, I knew it. The Patriots get back to the Super Bowl. John's so stupid.
I didn't really have
13 hours, idiot.
I didn't really have any reason to gloat or any feelings of, you know, if you look at my tweets, they weren't boastful. I was more so happy just that you wouldn't be able to do that to me, because I know you would have been gloating
had
the Chiefs won.
Hey, John, I told you about Tom Brady. Hey.
Hey.
I'm Cody.
I came in humble.
All that Chiefs talk. No, you didn't come in humble.
I came in humble today.
You came in 3 minutes before the show, just standing there waiting for us to address you, and I didn't give you the satisfaction. I was like, oh, hey, Cody, what's up? And you just stood there waiting to address.
Well,
what'd you guys think of the game last night?
I didn't say that. I never said that.
Hey, did you guys watch the game last night?
I never said that.
Hey, what'd you think? What'd you think?
There's ways you can get out of the 13 hours of studio time if you want to negotiate.
I'm not negotiating. I'll do my time.
I'll change terms.
You know what they say during a 13-hour radio gauntlet? You really only do two hours. The first hour when you get to three and out, and the last hour of overtime. Everything else just blends in together.
What's the standard minimum wage these days? Like $10 an hour? $7.25. Good Lord. People are not getting paid much, are they?
Well, they should get better jobs.
All right, what's 7.25 times 13?
Too much. I'm not paying you to get out of it.
You can pay me that amount. Minimum wage. I'll give you minimum wage.
I'm just going to do my time.
7.25 times 13. You can pay me $94.25.
Once I wake up, once I get here at 6:45, after that, it's all downhill until 7 p.m. I'll be good. And I don't know if it
downhill?
Means all downhill. I don't know.
Yeah, we still can't figure that out.
We don't know if all downhill means it was good and then it's bad, or if it's all coasting. Either way,
There's going to be ups and downs for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how Russell is going to feel when I've got my bucket in there just squatting using the bathroom in the corner because I can't leave the studio.
It doesn't have to be that drastic.
You really probably should have taken the proposition to take its optional off.
Buckethead says, do what college does, but start on your own 25. I mean, that's okay. I mean, I do kind of like it. Maybe if you just specify, like Ben said, hey, the first team gets the ball. The second team has to go for two. Maybe that's just a simple fix.
What about Belichick and Andy Reid have like a 20-yard shuttle?
I'll tell you what they don't want to do. They don't want to see Andy Reid in the punt, pass, and kick competition.
Is that a fact?
You've seen those videos. He was a prodigy.
Oh, back in the day.
He was a prodigy. I'm sure he's still got it.
I mean,
bring back the punt, pass, and kick.
Big guys are notoriously better in the 20-yard than they are in the 40-yard dash. I wonder if Andy Reid and Belichick, 20 yards, just, you know, maybe you make them backpedal 20 yards. The old backpedal 20-yard shuttle.
I don't know that Andy Reid would make it 20 yards.
Mike says each team gets two possessions from the 50, mandatory two-point conversion if still tied, go to field goal kicks. I think people would be really mad if all of a sudden our football was being decided by
the equivalent of PKs.
It's better than a coin.
I'd be okay with starting at the 50, and then if you're tied, you just have a sudden death round. You flip a coin. But then we're just going to run into the same problem. That's what I keep saying. Like, I don't think people would like penalty kicks.
I think if you're going to do the penalty kicks, it should be like horse. You get to pick your spot. The other guy has to hit it. Back and forth we go.
What if you put both teams at the 50-yard line and both teams get four plays per possession?
Four to score?
Just four plays to score?
Yep.
You're just changing the rules of football at that point.
It's backyard football.
You guys are getting gimmicky. Like, we don't want it to be gimmicky. Let college be gimmicky. The pros are supposed to be pros.
Does it really matter if it's gimmicky? I mean, NASCAR's gone gimmicky.
Yeah, and it's died. It's died because of
it.
Look
at their ratings.
I would say that it does matter. I just think that of these solutions, just, hey, play defense is the easiest one. Hey, Chiefs, don't let them score a touchdown. I just think that's the simplest
thing. Seems easier in other sports to figure it out. You know, like basketball, you can just put a clock and whoever has more points.
You're not banging your head against each other, suffering
concussions. I understand
that. And maybe dying.
I know. I understand that. I'm saying, but you have more possessions.
I'm saying that's why you can't just do it, though. Like, baseball, I'd say baseball's got it. I mean, people don't like baseball overtime extra inning rules either, or at least the common fans don't. Now, the purists would be like, well, you know, they would never dream of changing it to where you're just, well, it's tied after 11 innings. Let's just go to a home run derby to see who wins. Let's put Bryce Harper out here against Giancarlo Stanton. Whoever hits more home runs wins. Now, for the fans, that seems simpler, and that would really take away from the 15, 16-inning marathon games.
Might get guys like me to watch.
Maybe, and maybe they should think about that for the regular season.
Just a whole bunch of home runs.
Football's just tough to figure out because you have just more injury risks, right? An extra 5 minutes of basketball doesn't have the same effects as an extra 15 minutes of football. It just takes longer to score as well.
Yeah, I don't know how to solve it.
I don't either. I just say play defense. But I do wonder, like, if this is going to be a big part of the conversation over the next, you know, week or so, or all off season. If enough people complain, they might look at changing it. To where at least they say, hey, you do get guaranteed a chance to get the ball.
Seems like one of those things we'll forget about till the next time it happens.
I don't think so. I don't think so, because after the Super Bowl, what are we going to talk about? I mean, we'll talk about college basketball because the Vols are about to be ranked number one.
Allegedly.
But it's not like there's a lot of NFL draft prospects that people are going to be talking about. We kind of highlighted that.
Yeah, the draft sucks this year.
The Kyler Murray talk's only going to get us so far. Then we're going to get to, well, how about both teams get the ball at least in overtime? In the playoffs. Can we do that? That'll be the conversation.
We've got a great sports schedule coming up. The Masters.
That's, what, 3 months away?
April 19th, I think. Game of Thrones.
Pitchers probably report back soon.
Yeah, like don't they report like in the middle of February?
Yeah.
Some form of like spring training is like in February, right? Because I know that's like Kyler Murray's actual deadline.
Someone on the Periscope says extra innings should be runner on second, two outs.
They've talked about doing that.
Really?
In the minors, they've tried to implement it. I don't know if it'll ever make it to the majors. I believe did they do that in the All-Star game, or am I completely making that up? No. I might be completely making that up. But I do know it was talked about in the minors. Like, after, like, I believe the 13th inning, you just start with the guy on second. Can you manufacture a run and get it in? Let's catch a break. We still got to talk Saints, Rams, Tennessee's going to be ranked number one at noon. We'll open the phone lines up if you want to weigh in on overtime. 865-546-8200 is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program, set to run the gauntlet. Just got a tweet about it. Made me think about it. Gonna be a long week. Gonna be a long week. In the fourth quarter, I started thinking, oh, they got the lead. Okay, just get one stop. One stop, everything will be okay. Bad night. Bad night for Eric Berry. Bad fourth quarter. Bad fourth quarter as Gronkowski bodied him on a couple of key plays.
It did hurt me to see Eric Berry getting burnt like that.
I thought he played okay for the first three quarters. Thought he was pretty solid. He got leveled on that touchdown run. then got gronked to end the game.
You know who else was solid?
Who?
Tom Brady was incredible last night. I've never seen anybody as good as Tom Brady.
Oh, God.
Ben, hit the music.
Welcome into the Al Pacino Seriously. Show. I told you when we hooked up, baby, that you were going to have to share me with all the bad people and all the ugly events on this planet. Hoo-ah!
And meanwhile, you know who they're watching? They're watching us, the police department, the LAPD.
You need people like me so you can point your fingers and say, that's the bad guy.
She had a great ass. It's well, the Al Pacino Show.
You missed your own.
Well, welcome in everybody to the Al Pacino Show.
Okay,
I forgot how the music goes there. I think it's time that we all accept the fact that Tom Brady is the greatest football player of all time. But I'm going to take it a step further. Tom Brady is getting set to become the greatest athlete of all time.
This is your day, I guess. You talked about this for 3 months. Just have your fun. Have your fun.
When Tom Brady beats down the hapless L.A. Rams, he's going to get his sixth ring. That will tie one Michael Jordan. And Tom Brady will cement his legacy as the greatest of all time. Let's bring in my good buddy, Paulie O'Brien. He's a big Pats fan from Boston. Paulie, welcome to the Al Pacino Show.
I just parked my car. Great to be here, Al. Great to be here.
Paulie, I assume you would agree, as a lifelong Boston sports fan, that Tom Brady is set to become the greatest athlete we've ever seen.
No question about it. Tom's already number one, if you ask me. Number one, maybe, you know, he just passed Larry Bird, in my opinion. Larry was number one, but Brady. Let me tell you about Brady. Brady, number one.
Now, Paulie, let me ask you. If Larry Bird and Tom Brady are both tied down to a set of railroad tracks, who are you saving? You can only take one.
Trick question, Al. I'm laying in front of the train and derailing it myself. That's right. I'm derailing it myself. I'm laying down, putting my head on the tracks. Blood's everywhere. Blood's everywhere. But I'm protecting Tom and I'm protecting Larry.
You'd be a true Boston hero.
That's right.
Like Paul Revere.
Ah, now we're talking. Now we're talking, Al.
One of the greatest Boston heroes of all time. The likes of Mark Wahlberg, Paul Revere, Larry Bird. I can't think of anyone greater.
I hate that you get to celebrate this today.
Why?
Well, not you, but...
Al?
Not Al. I mean, I really don't
Hoo-ah.
Know why. I don't know why Al's having... I don't know why Al wants to talk about Brady being the greatest of all time. Where's Al from? You would think he'd be a Giants fan. You'd think Al would like Eli Manning.
I've always been a Boston sports fan, as you well know.
Al's from New York, right? He's got to be from New York. He screams New York. Why is he so into the Patriots?
Where's Al from, Bentley? Which borough?
He seems like a Bronx guy. Or Queens. Queens is my official guess. He's a Queens guy.
It literally just says born New York City.
It must be Manhattan. Maybe he was just born right in the middle of Manhattan.
Maybe. But let's get back to the topic.
East
Brady.
Harlem.
Brady, number one all time. Michael Jordan was a bum. Michael Jordan, he's lucky he got there at the end of the Celtics run, all right? Because you saw what happened when Michael went into the Garden and had to play the Celtics. Nothing. Bada boom, bada bing. 63 points. Ah, blah, blah. Sweep. You got swept. You couldn't win.
I don't care about your 63 points, Jordan. I don't care about this soft 1990s basketball. He's lucky that we had Rick Pitino up there running around, running the Celtics into the ground. Don't get me started on Pitino, how he ruined the seas. Don't get me started on that. He's lucky that the Celtics decided to take the 90s off and let someone else have a chance. Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan. He wouldn't have done nothing if Larry wouldn't have hurt his back. And Lynn Bias, RIP. Stay off the cocaine, folks. You know about that, Al.
I'm a big fan.
Al, you know about that. Hey, you remember? Hey, you remember?
Ooh-ah.
Say hello Ooh-ah. To the bad guys.
Ooh-ah.
Say hello to the bad guys.
Say hello to my little friend.
You seen Scarface at the end, right? Too much cocaine, although you did take a lot of shots.
I did.
You got shot many times and you kept going. But if Lynn Bias had never done the cocaine, the Celtics dynasty never ends. And you're not talking about Michael Jordan. You're talking about Lenny Bias. That's who you're talking about, Lenny Bias.
Ooh-wah, 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 ooh-wah.
Michael Jordan, more like Tom Brady. He's the GOAT. And the lucky that Tom Brady, he didn't want to play basketball. Couldn't have just seen him running around, him and Bob Cousy. Imagine Tom Brady catching alley-oops from Bob Cousy. Oh, my God.
You know, if Tom Brady and MJ took the court right now, my money's on Tom Brady.
Ooh-ah!
He's kept his body in check.
And no, most people don't know this, but Brady, two-star athlete, he got drafted to play baseball. 18th round, look it up. That's something else he was better than Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan sucked at baseball. Tom Brady, 18th round draft pick.
Pauly, we're all out of time. Thanks for joining the Al Pacino
Stay
show today.
Stay off the cocaine, everybody.
Do all the coke you want.